punched the button, then studied me for a moment and stuck out his hand. "Richard." I shook it as the doors closed, and the car silently descended. "Walt." Appropriately enough, the Cold Case Files Division of the Campbell County Sheriff's Department was located adjacent to the Campbell County Sheriff's Department file room in the chilly basement of the building and was devoid of the charms above. I sat in what was certainly a cast-off green metal office chair beside what had surely been an abandoned green metal office desk, out of which Harvey pulled a few file folders about an inch thick. Resting them on the corner of the desk, he sat in the twin green chair. "Merry belated Christmas." "Any order to them?" He shook his head. "Not that I can tell. But I had them on the desk just like that." I glanced around to the locked cages surrounding the file areas, and could see only one window up near the ceiling where people's feet, clothed in various winter footwear, walked by on the sidewalk above. "He worked down here alone?" The inspector leaned back in his chair and placed his pointy-toed boots up on the surface between us on top of the files. "Now you know why he killed himself, right?" I looked at the folders under his polished wingtips and even went so far as to flip the corners through my fingers. "Pretty skimpy." He ignored my remark and glanced up through the abbreviated window. I started trying to guess what people did for a living by looking at their shoes. But then I figured out they were mostly all cops and quit.
"There are a lot of them around here."
"Uh-huh." His eyes returned to mine. "How about you?"
"How about me what?"
"You a cop?"
I smiled, not making it easy on him.
"In what sense?"
He didn't smile back.
"Are you one of them, or are you one of us?"
"I'm just me."
I closed my fingers around the files and yanked them from under his boots. He slipped the Lucchese's from the desk and stood, and I was standing right there with him, nose to nose. "Gerald Hallman was a friend of mine, and I don't want his name dragged through the mud." I slipped the files under my arm.
"Are you trying to tell me something, Richard?"
He didn't move. "I want to be sure about who you're working for."
"That would be my business."
He nodded toward the files, securely compressed under my arm. "Those are now mine, and that makes it my business, too."
"You want to wrestle for them?"
He looked me over. "You think I can't?"
"I think I've got you by about 60 pounds, and the first thing I'm going to do is grab that .357 on your hip."
"Well, I'll be grabbing that .45 at the small of your back."
I glanced around. "Boy, howdy, I sure hope no one comes in down here while we're doing all that grabbing."
His face was stony, but after a few seconds, fissures started to break through the facade, and finally the cracks formed a grin underneath the extravagant mustache, and he chuckled. "Gets lonely down here."
He laughed outright and then sat on the edge of the desk.
"I hear you're pretty smart."
"For a Wyoming sheriff?"
He continued to smile. "You get a lot of press."
"Meaning?"
He drew a wide palm across the lower part of his face, but somehow didn't disturb the mustache. "Look, Gerald was a good guy."
I sat and leaned back in the guest chair. "We all seem to be in agreement about that, but he's dead and his wife wants to know why. So, in answer to your question, I'm working for her."
Confrontation largely avoided, I started shuffling through the files.
"This is all he was working on?"
"The only things of any importance."
I nodded and left it at that.
"His wife mentioned something about a missing persons?" "Missing girl from out near Arosa. A little crossroads east of here along the railroad tracks."
He leaned forward and took the stack from my hands and flipped through until finding the one marked with the name.
"Yone Urecha. Classic case from the Itty Bitty Teddy Club out there. Got off work and disappeared, never to be heard from again."
He handed the folder to me and I opened it.
"Dancer?" "Sure, if you say so."
"Missing 5 weeks." I glanced up at him.
Not exactly a cold, cold case.
Nope, but Holman got all the leftovers.
He glanced around the dungeon, and shit flows downhill. I rested my eyes on the photo of the young woman and found her features familiar.
Urecha. That's Basque.
I looked up at him.
I met a woman at the Wrangler Motel last night by that name. The sister. She's been talking to the press and harassing the department about our handling of the case. Everybody around here just wants her to go home.
I glanced up at him.
How is our handling of the case?
He pointed at the folder. As near as I can tell, the report got filled by another dancer about a week after the incident. A deputy took the statement. A detective followed it up, but there was nothing to indicate foul play. Her apartment was empty, and her car was gone, so it's a pretty good bet that she flew the coop. Something she's been known to do.
You contact Boise?
He looked confused.
Where she's from?
Hey, this wasn't my case until a week and a half ago.
I gestured with a file. This one was on top?
Yeah.
Any chance that she was involved with Holman?
He made a face.
You're kidding, right?
Mike turned to shrug. He thought about it.
I know it's a reasonable avenue of suspicion, but he was three times her age, and just not the type.
I looked at the next file, a waitress from the Flying J Travel Plaza on South Douglas Highway by the name of Roberta Payne.
Another missing woman?
He nodded.
3 months ago.
I flipped to the next file, and another missing woman. A housewife from East Gillette from 7 months previous, Linda Schaffer. These files are all missing women.
He studied me. I know what you're thinking, Powder River serial killer. But there's nothing to connect them other than the fact that they were women and are missing, and the time span is not consistent.
You think he just fixated and burned out?
It happens.
He was right. It did happen with an alarming frequency. Police officers who grew so close to their cases that they simply couldn't accept the loss of a failure. I tucked the folders into my chest.
Do you mind if I take these and go through them?
He stroked a hand across his mustache again and sighed.
Hey, I'm sorry about that. Before.
He thumped my chest with the back of his hand.
The only thing I ask is that if you come up with anything, you get in touch with me first.
He stuck the same hand out.
Deal?
We shook and I stood.
Where are you going to start?
I glanced down at the file on top, just as Gerald Holman had left it. Evidently at the Itty Bitty Titty Club. He smiled.
Never a bad place to start.
But first I have to go to Kmart. Whether from guilt or a sense of retail avoidance, Lucian decided to stick around at the sheriff's office while Dog and I headed south on the Douglas Highway to the fabled Kmart. I parked and turned to look at him.
You want dog treats, or should I just go over to the meat section and get you a ham?
His ears went up at the word ham. They say dogs have a vocabulary of about 20 words, and I was pretty sure 17 of dogs were ham. Having taken his order, I got out and started in. It took me a while, but I found the ham and then the coffee urn. Vowing to get Lucian to reimburse me, I made my way out with the cumbersome box, but stopped as I passed the bulletin board at the entryway, where a shapely lass in a green Stormy Cromer hat and a vintage plaid hunting jacket was replacing a homemade missing persons poster using a heavy-duty staple gun. After she secured the 8.5x11 sheet on the cork with a slap, she turned and looked at me with the remaining posters hanging over her arm and the staple gun at the ready.
I've got permission to do this.
I looked down the barrel of the device and raised my one available hand. Okay. She studied me, probably noticing I wasn't wearing one of those nifty red Kmart vests.
Do I know you?
Walt Longmire, the sheriff of Absaroka County. We met last night. I'm staying at the Wrangler.
The what?
The Wrangler Motel. She nodded as the pneumatic doors opened and closed behind me, ushering in repeated arctic blasts from the outside.
Yeah.
I pointed toward the poster behind her. That your sister? Her chin came up.
Yes.
I lowered my finger, gesturing toward the remaining posters. Can I have one of those? The chin remained steady, as did the gaze.
Why?
The doors continued to open and close, so I stepped to one side to avoid the censors. I thought maybe I could help. She snorted, and it was an ugly expression on such a pretty face.
Well, if you're as much help as the rest of the guys that are supposed to be looking for her.
I nodded and took a deep breath. I think I might have discovered why there's been a little slowdown in the investigation.
And why is that?
I glanced around, with as little drama as I could, to make sure that no discount shoppers were in earshot. The detective that was working on the case is dead.
Will he die of old age?
I stood there for a long time, giving her what my daughter used to call the nickel-plated stare. Evidently it was a suicide.
She looked back at the poster. Good. Maybe the next guy in line will do a better job.
I glanced around again, a little embarrassed. Maybe. She stared at me.
You?
I nodded. Kind of. She didn't move at first, but then clutched the posters a little closer and dropped her arm that held the staple gun.
I'm sorry, that was awful.
It's okay. She sniffed, and then rubbed the red of her nose with the back of a fingerless wool glove.
The old guy?
Gerald Holman.
Yeah, him.
She moved to the side with me.
That's why there was a different cop when I went in there last week. Wyatt Earp, the guy with the mustache.
Yep. She stared down at her fur-lined, lace-up sorrels and then handed me one of the posters without looking up.
Really, I'm sorry.
I took the piece of paper and studied the copied photo of a beautiful young blonde woman looking off to the right, laughing at something someone off-camera had said. Pretty.
Yeah.
No other siblings?
No.
I glanced at the bulletin board. How often do you change the posters? She looked back.
Every couple of days.
I use a different photo each time.
She was like that. No two photos ever look the same.
I waited a moment before asking, can I buy you lunch? The Flying J Travel Plaza, number 762, off exit 126 on I-90, isn't all that different from the rest of the six Flying J's in Wyoming, other than its location next to the Kmart on the Douglas Highway. But it was convenient and had a nice view of the parking lot and my truck, where Dog sat in the driver's seat, looking in at us longingly.
Where'd you get the Plains Grizzly?
I sipped my coffee. The Forest Service. He's Smokey's evil twin, at least when he's around ham. The truck stop groaned with the wind that had started up, and snow sandblasted the glass, pressing on the casings as I looked down at the poster on the corner table between us. They said her apartment was empty and her car was gone. Lorea held her hot chocolate close to her mouth and blew in it.
Trailer.
Excuse me?
She didn't have an apartment. She lived in a trailer behind Dirty Shirley's, the place where she worked.
The strip club is called Dirty Shirley's? She looked at me over her mug.
Yeah.
No one has heard anything from her at all. Phone calls? Letters?
No, we were close and used to text each other all the time, and suddenly she just stopped.
Credit card, receipts,
nothing.
I studied the poster some more. 5 weeks. She took a sip and looked out the window at the monochromatic landscape of concrete and blowing snow.
Yes.
I was trying to figure a way of getting around to the subject and could come up with nothing better than just asking. I hope you're not going to take offense to this, but
what was a nice girl like Yona doing in a dump like Dirty Shirley's, swinging from a pole with nothing on but body glitter?
Something like that. Her eyes turned back to mine.
Upward of $350 a night, I'd suspect.
She pushed herself into the booth with her back against the window.
She was an education major at State until the money ran out. As she curled her black legging-clad knees up under her chin, her dark hair draped around her face. She said she'd gotten a job here in Wyoming with one of the methane outfits, which she said was only until she saved up enough money for next year. But my parents started hearing from her less and less.
What do they know?
That she's missing, and that's all. She glanced at me, the wool hunting cap casting shadows over her eyes. They're older. There's nothing they can do. And I don't think they need to know that Yona was dancing all she was doing. She was about to answer, and possibly in a vehement way, when the waitress reappeared with a pot in hand.
You need a refill?
I nodded and slid my mug toward her, glancing at Lorea, who was still giving me a hard look, as I slipped my hand down and opened one of the folders that I had at my side and held up a photograph for the middle-aged waitress to see.
Know this woman?
She immediately looked sad. Roberta Payne. She worked here over the summer. I stuck out a hand. Walt Longmire, I'm the sheriff over in Absaroka County. She filled my mug, sat the pot at the edge of the table, and extended her hand in return.
Jane Towson. The cops come in here periodically to ask questions and retake statements.
Her face brightened just a little.
You know Inspector Holman? He comes in here a lot.
He's dead.
We both looked at the young woman seated across from me, and then I turned back to the waitress.
He passed away a couple of weeks ago.
Lorea's voice stayed sharp.
He killed himself.
Jane slowly turned back to me, unsure what to make of her tone.
I'm sorry to hear that. He seemed like a nice man.
Gesturing with the photograph, I brought the subject back to Roberta Payne. Did you know her well?
Not really. I mean, we worked here together and we were in a book club for a while, but I didn't know her really well. She was only here for a couple months before she disappeared.
She picked up the coffee pot and glanced at Lorea before asking me,
Do you think it's possible that she's still alive somewhere?
Sure, it's possible.
The young woman on the other side of the booth shimmied out and stood there for a moment as she counted out some change. Her voice wrote,
Reports of missing persons have increased sixfold in the last 25 years, from roughly 150,000 in 1980 to 900,000 this year, more than 2,000 a day.
Maria tossed the change on the table but glanced at me.
Nobody gives a shit, lady.
She walked away from the booth, her voice a shadow.
Nobody.
Chapter 3. Linda Schaffer, the first of the women who had gone missing, had lived in East Gillette in a modest home, but the house was empty, the windows were boarded up, and there was a for sale sign in the yard. There were shingles missing from the roof, and dead, dried weeds jutted out from the snow-filled raised bed boxes. A graffiti artist had spray-painted something colorful but illegible on the corner where a few bricks had fallen away, like a place that Vic once said had probably contained a lot of rage. I thought about what happened when an integral part of a structure was removed, about how things can so easily fall apart. There was a period after my wife died when I don't think I left the house for 2 months. Dark days had got a little better, but almost drove my daughter away from me, the one thing my wife would not have wanted under any circumstance. Delicate little families. One of the members of my family whined, and I turned to look at him.
What?
He smiled and wagged his tail. You and me, pal. I sliced off a piece of the half-unwrapped ham in my hands with my pocket knife and handed it to him.
You're not going to get married and run off, are you?
He dire-wolfed the ham and continued wagging, his tail thumping the inside of the door like a leather quirt. I peeled a piece off for myself, stuffed it in my mouth, and chewed as I looked at the empty house and thought about my daughter, and more important, the trip I'd put on hold for this investigation. Richard Harvey, for all his rough edges, seemed like a competent investigator, With all those years in correction, Albuquerque, Denver, and the Division of Criminal Investigation, he was more likely to break the cases that had led to Gerald Holman's suicide than I. The radio under my dash sprang forth with the voice of Ruby, my dispatcher, moral compass, and practitioner of proper radio procedure. Static.
Come in, Unit 1. This is base. Over.
I plucked the mic from my dash and keyed the button. Ruby, can't you just say Walt?
Static. Unit 1, is that you?
I growled into the mic.
Yep.
Static.
I have Katie on line 1 from Philadelphia. Do you want me to patch her through? Over.
You mean Unit 1.5?
Static.
I keyed the mic again.
Or is it 1.75?
Static.
Do you want the call? Over.
Yes, ma'am, please. There was a brief squelch, and then my daughter's voice came on the line.
Where are you?
I glanced around.
Gillette.
Why?
Helping Lucian with a case.
Uncle Lucian is retired, so he doesn't have cases.
A friend of Lucian's, the wife of a man who committed suicide, a sheriff's investigator.
That's Campbell County.
I glanced around some more. My powers of deduction have ascertained that, yes, you are correct in that I am in Campbell County.
Why isn't Sandy Sandberg taking care of this?
It's complex.
It always is. She sighed. Anyway, it'll be convenient since you're flying to Philadelphia out of Gillette.
I am?
You are. 4 days, which means Thursday at noon. Got it?
Noon patrol. Roger that. I listened to the quiet and got a little worried. What's up, punk?
It's nothing.
I waited, and her voice became quieter and carried a different tone. One of those tones that when someone you love adopts, you feel like you're falling down a mineshaft.
They say the baby's in a difficult position and that it might cause complications in the delivery.
I felt feather tips scouring the insides of my lungs. What kind of complications?
I don't know, but I've got a conference with them later today. I'll call you after.
She paused.
Did Mom have any problems along these lines when she had me?
As always, I dropped back and punted with humor, even though the pains of my heart were cracking like ice in a warm glass. No, she dropped you in the field and kept hoeing sugar beets.
I'm serious.
I know, honey. I don't remember anything like that, but that was back in the dark ages when they made the father sit on a bench in the hallway. She laughed, and I could hear her wiping away the tears.
Well, you've got a front row seat on this one, pal. They said I could have one more after Michael and his mother, and you're it.
I swallowed. Okay.
Noon Thursday, which means you have to be at the airport an hour early, okay?
Okay. I remembered the first time I held her. How amazed I was that anything that small could contain the amount of love I was pouring into her.
I love you.
I love you too, punk. The line went dead, and I hung my mic back on the dash and stared at the lifeless windows of the abandoned house. Delicate little families. I could just take Dog back over to Durant and drop him off with Ruby and run up to the larger airport in Billings and catch a flight to Philadelphia today, but the weight of my responsibilities held me grounded. I had responsibilities to Lucian, to Phyllis Holman, and in a way to Sandy Sandberg and Richard Harvey. In a way, I also had a responsibility to Lorea Urecha, but the real weight lay with Gerald Holman, Yona Urecha, Roberta Payne, and Linda Schaffer. Dead weight. I sighed, placed the ham on the dash, and pulled out the aluminum clipboard from the side door pocket, along with the nifty flashlight pen I'd stolen from a highway patrolman a couple of years ago, who was also now deceased. I scribbled down the phone number and address of the local realty firm that had the listing along with the address of the lonely house on East Box Elder Road. I was about to pull out as a Gillette City Cruiser slowed and parked beside me, the driver rolling down his passenger side window and leaning across the seat to look up at me. I rolled my own down, and I judged his age to be late 20s.
Howdy. Sheriff Longmire?
I smiled back, thinking he looked vaguely familiar.
Depends. On what? You got warrants?
He laughed.
Nope. You date my daughter?
I did.
He blushed up to his blonde crew cut.
The first time I came to pick her up, you tossed me a shotgun shell.
I did?
Yeah, you said they went a lot faster after 11 o'clock.
I nodded. I used to think I was a tough guy.
He pulled off a black leather glove and stuck out a hand.
Corbin Dougherty.
Your parents the ones that had the place near Spotted Horse?
Still do.
He glanced around, but mostly at the house.
Why are you and Gillette?
Gerald Holman.
He nodded. I figured as much.
I looked at him questioningly, and he continued.
As soon as a cop gets killed in this state, all the old-timers say we need to bring in Walt Longmire.
I ignored the flattery and threw a thumb toward the house. Linda Schaffer was one of Holman's cases.
He sighed. And mine.
Yours?
One of my first. And boy, did I screw it up.
Tell me how. He got out of his car and shook his head. Stupid rookie shit. I kept telling the husband and the little boy not to worry, that she'd be back any time.
He looked at the abandoned house, and I could see a shudder run through him.
Turns out they had a perfect reason to worry.
What happened?
She went to work one evening and just didn't come home.
He glanced around the lonely strip of a road. Not really country, not really suburbs, but the transition land between.
I would stop by periodically just to see if they'd heard anything, not only from us, but from anybody.
Anything?
Nothing.
He shook his head and leaned away from my truck, still holding on to it in a modified push-up to drain some of the anxiety.
I kept coming by to check in, but one day they were gone. I guess it got to be too much for them, waiting for her to come home. I couldn't stand it and ran a check. They moved back to Spokane, where they were from originally.
I picked up the file from the center console, glancing through it but not finding the information I wanted. Where did she work?
Kmart.
I glanced at the coffee urn on the passenger side floor and then looked up at him.
You're kidding.
Nope, why? There's another woman who worked at the Flying J Truck Plaza, which is right across the parking lot, who's been missing for about 3 months, name of Roberta Payne.
I shuffled through the folders. And then another woman missing about 5 weeks now by the name of Yona Urecha out near Arosa, which is east of town.
Yeah, about 18 miles. Just go straight up Box Elder, left on Fox Place Avenue, then a right on 51. You'll run right into the middle of the town, or what there is of it, about 500 people.
I rested the files back on the console.
Thanks.
You think there's a connection?
I shrugged. I'm sure they already thought of that. What with the two missing women separated by only a parking lot, but the other woman 10 minutes out of town.
Seems odd.
Yep. You never heard about these other women in squad meetings, nothing?